Mitch McConnell has become a champion for conservatives. But back in the day, he once got support from groups like labor unions.
I mark it down as one of the worst things I've ever done in my life.
So you thought about it over the years?
Oh, I still think about it every time I see his face.
Mitch McConnell, a new series from Embedded. Subscribe now.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. There is a quiet revolution happening in the world of television drama. Well, maybe not so quiet, but the status quo is definitely changing. For example, the folks on the Starz cable network just this week announced the release of the second season of the program Vida. It's a show featuring an all-Latinx cast, written by Latinx writers, and featuring a storyline set in the Latino Boyle Heights neighborhood in East Los Angeles. Now, a year ago, we featured an interview with the showrunner for Vida, Tanya Saracho. She talked to us about season one and how LGBTQ issues and themes were included in the storylines, as well as issues of gentrification or gentification, not to mention the drama of families and family secrets. Season two just started this week. And to mark the occasion, we have invited the women who are the three lead actors from the show to join us from the Alt Latino West Coast Bureau in Culver City, California. Michelle Prada, Melissa Barrera, and Ser Anzuategui. Welcome to Alt Latino.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, now music also plays a large part of the show, and we're starting the show off this week with a track called Release the Hounds by Harina DeMarco. Melissa Barrera, I think this is your choice. Tell us about the song.
She's amazing. She is a Latinx artist based in L.A.
Yeah, and from Dominican Republic.
Yeah. And this song, I've always felt is kind of like the theme song for our show.
It was in the first trailer that we ever saw. Remember, we had dinner.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting around my house, and Tanya's like, I have the trailer.
Yeah.
We all sat around a computer watching it.
Let's just jump right into the music. I had it coming later in the conversation, but let's just jump right into it because you three are the lead characters on the show, but the music is like the fourth character.
Yeah.
The music and the
neighborhood.
And the neighborhood. Yeah. And I think that's kind of true to life.
Yeah.
You know, we're always listening to music, dancing, eating something.
Yeah.
And it's great because it really, it just invites you into that yeah. experience.
And what's so mm-hmm. special about, I think, season two is that, you know, music was a huge part of season one. And Tanya for season two really wanted to make it even more important. So they had this Latinx artists band boot camp. And mm-hmm. she literally just got together a bunch of really talented LA-based artists mm-hmm. and musicians. And for like a week, they would go in and they would create songs specifically for certain scenes. So a lot of the music is original and it's like made for our show. And I think that's something really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like even Tanya, there's a thing that Tanya was called, which is White Tina, and we bring it up in season two because right. Emma and Lynn get called that as well. And with one of the songs, Me Llamo Yo, she just told them, I want a song with White Thina in it. And they came out with this amazing song. And it was just about, you know, Me Amo. And I can't remember all the lyrics, but it's like Hija de Frida. And it kind of goes through all these Latina names. And it's like Me Amo Yo. And it's about staking that claim in the neighborhood. And it's like, why you call me White Thina? There's that judgment. And it's a talk back to that judgment. Yeah, it's so good. And just because these women came together and made these songs, and what they were bringing back was so visceral and so amazing, where Tanya could just say, listen, I have one word, this is what I wanted, and then they would just, it was like birth. You give a sperm and then you give back a whole baby, and you're just like, this is this magical thing that us as women can do. You think that you're clever, but I don't. You think that you're better, is that so? Tu dinero no ahorita paso. If you mess with me, te hago pedazo. Este corazón aunque se parte sigue bueno. Eso que tú tienes adentro parece veneno. You better get moving, I'ma count from 1 to 10. When it's up, I never wanna see your face again. Salgo a la esquina y tú me discrimina. Why you calling me White Thina? Tú busca vida, yo no soy la vendida. Why esos nombres son mentira, mira. Así me llamo yo.
You know, the other thing about the music is that almost all of it is in the style of the stuff that we've been playing here on Alt Latino for 9 years. And it reinforces the idea that, you know, the people who listen to this music don't always often get their stories told on anywhere out in public like this. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is the bar scenes with the crowd. I look at the bar scenes and I say, well, that looks like the show that we did at South by Southwest last year. You know what I mean?
It's
the same people.
Mm-hmm. And what I love about the show, too, is that Tanya really wants to highlight the Los Angeles-based artist. And it's such a cool thing as being an artist from L.A. and an actor on the show that I get to see my friends or folks that I've really admired and followed through the underground scene make it onto the show because they're so talented. Like,
incredible. We love having the music on set as well, because at a time where there are no words, the music kind of comes in and takes over and takes you on that ride. It really puts meat into that emotion, which sometimes are so fleeting, and you're like, I feel this, I don't know what it is, but then you listen to something or you watch something or you see a painting and all of a sudden you don't feel so alone because you feel, you see it represented in that way. And you're like, oh my gosh, this emotion, this feeling that I have in the lonely parts of me is a real thing that other people experience.
It's such a great, great playlist. It's just and so powerful in so many different ways. And when mixed, like you said, when mixed with the emotions and the faces of the characters during the show, it just it's devastating.
It gets
bad.
Me every time. Like the ending of season one, Latino America, by Calle 13 and Susana Vaca, to like, that made me just. And it ends on Vida, like that's Tanya. She ends it right when Vida, and her face comes out of like dead. I'm just crying, just done.
Yeah.
You know, shovel me into season two.
And we did. Don't worry, Tanya made sure that you were. In a hospital bed.
Soy lo que dejaron, soy toda la sobra de lo que se robaron. Un pueblo escondido en la cima, mi piel es de cuero, por eso aguanta cualquier clima. Soy una fábrica de humo, mano de obra campesina para tu consumo. Frente de frío en el medio del verano, el amor en los tiempos del cólera, mi hermano. El sol que nace y el día que muere, con los mejores atardeceres. Soy el desarrollo en carne viva, un discurso político sin saliva. Las caras más bonitas que he conocido, soy la fotografía de un desaparecido, la sangre dentro de tus venas, soy un pedazo de tierra que vale la pena, una canasta con frijoles, soy Maradona contra Inglaterra, anotándote 2 goles, soy lo que sostiene mi bandera, la espina dorsal del planeta en mi cordillera, soy lo que me enseñó mi padre, el que no quiere a su patria, no quiere a su madre, soy América Latina, un pueblo sin pierna, pero que camina. Oye, tú no puedes comer.
Tengo mis dientes pa' cuando me sonrío, la nieve que maquilla mis montañas. Tengo el sol que me seca y la lluvia que me baña, un desierto embriagado con peyote, un trago de pulque para cantar con los coyotes, todo lo que necesito. Tengo a mis pulmones respirando azul clarito, la altura que sofoca. Soy las muelas de mi boca, mascando coca, el otoño con sus hojas desmayadas, los versos escritos bajo la noche estrellada, una viña repleta de uva, un cañaveral bajo el sol en Cuba. Soy el mar Caribe que vigila las casitas, haciendo rituales y agua bendita, el viento que peina mi cabello. Soy todos los santos que cuelgan de mi cuello, el jugo de mi lucha no es artificial, porque el abono de mi tierra es natural.
Tú no puedes comprar.
Okay, no spoilers here today, but there are some major bombs dropped in terms of plot and character development this season. Now, did the writers surprise you with these morsels of drama surprise? Did you know what was going to happen?
We knew that some of Lynn's choices in season one were going to follow her into season two.
Yeah.
So we were waiting for when that was going to show up in the scripts as we were getting them,
But then there are also, like, some of Vida's secrets that are coming up.
Secrets.
Were surprising to all of us. Mm-hmm. And that is,
surprising.
Yeah, because honestly, Vida was kind of like a stranger to the girls. Like, she lived, like, an entirely different life and lied to them a lot and lied to everyone. And some of her secrets are coming to light in season two.
But, yeah, it's kind of cool that... It's her, you know, doing that, because a lot of times the male, the machismo, but it's like, you know, the secrets in this other family. But it's like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And I think what's really amazing is that these characters are also fleshed out. And even Vidalia, who is not a physical character, is fleshed out. You're seeing how complex she was through the effect that she had on each of these women. And neither one is really wrong when you think about it. Vida was a loving wife. Vida was a little bit of a meanie in whatever ways that she was. And I think neither of them are wrong. You can be all of those things. You can be loving and also kind of have a mean streak. And it's cool to see that even with the characters that aren't on screen, that they are fully fleshed out.
Music time. Let's hear a song.
Can we do the wedding song?
Okay.
Because that's the kind of song that gets you back on the dance floor.
All right,
that's in episode 3 of season 2. That's in the wedding. And it was actually in my wedding, too, when I got married in February.
That's right.
La Chona.
Oh, yeah, La
from
Chona.
From Los Tucanes de Tijuana.
Esa.
Oh, yeah. Esa. Man. I remember that.
We are definitely all dancing in here.
Contaré la historia de una famosa persona. Todos la conocen con el apodo de Chona. Todos la conocen con el apodo de Chona. Su marido dice ya no sé qué hacer con ella. Diario va a los bailes y se compra una botella. Diario va a los bailes y se compra una botella. Se arranca la banda con la primera canción. Y la Chona luego busca bailador. Y la Chona luego busca bailador. La gente la mira y le empieza a gritar. Bravo, bravo, Chona, nadie te puede igualar. Bravo, bravo, Chona, nadie te puede igualar. Y la Chona se mueve y la gente le grita. No hay mejor que la Chona para la quebradita. Y la Chona se mueve al ritmo que le toquen. Ella baila de todo, nunca pierde su trote.
Con el apodo de Chona.
We are having a sing-along here. Adult Latino.
Yeah, can't help it.
Chona had a little bit of an alcohol problem.
I know.
I just realized it.
It's you know, when you look back on certain things, you're just like, what? Like, even like El Cuco.
Yeah.
Or Cucuy, I think it's Mexican. I grew up with El Cuco. And you're just like, that's kind of messed up that you made me scared of this thing that was... Or like La Llorona, you're like, she's going to drown me?
Yeah.
Like, why, mom?
Yeah.
I feel like Latin parents have a little bit of like a mean streak that is really common.
It's all in the name of control.
Exactly.
I will admit to having used that a couple of times on my side. Yeah.
Or like that typical thing where they're like, if you're not behaving, they're like, someone's gonna steal you.
Yeah.
if you don't come back here, someone's gonna steal you.
Yeah, or my parents.
Someone's gonna kidnap you.
Yeah, or the police would come. I'm gonna call the police to arrest you. And I'm like, oh my God.
Mine was like, te voy a dar con el cinto, ahí lo ve. And it was like hung up on the wall. Like.
My mom used to say she was gonna wash my mouth with soap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whenever I would say something that she didn't like, she's gonna, te voy a lavar la boca con jabón.
What did you say that she didn't like?
Like I would say maybe like bad words. I think she actually just did wash my mouth once.
Just that I was gonna you know, wait till she fell asleep to do bad things. And I'm like, okay.
I grew up in Huntington Park, so they taped my mouth as a child.
They taped your mouth? Oh my God.
Duct tape.
That's Filipino parents for you.
Duct tape abuse for many, many situations, like a wallet.
Mine, I would be like, I'm gonna call child services on you. My mom would pick up the phone and be like, here's the number. I'll call it for you. She's like, see how you enjoy the foster system.
Oh,
I'm like,
oh my God. She turned it around on you.
Oh, I was like, mira, te lo llamo. Te lo llamo.
Te lo llamo.
And I'm like, all right, mom. Oh, parents.
But they love us.
Yeah, son de México, de Sudamérica, de Caribe. No importa, todos somos así.
This is kind of crazy. So my cat, I don't let him go outside, but sometimes for some reason, I like opening the door and seeing what he'll do. And he kind of put one foot to step out, and I made the noise that my mom used to make when we'd get in trouble. I went, ah, ah. And he listened. I never taught him. I didn't put a hand on it. He literally put his paw all the way back in on the other side of the door and went, meow, and then like walked away. Oh, so I think there's power in the ah.
Yeah. That and la chancla.
Yeah, la chancla.
And a look. You have to develop a look that you can deliver across the room, and they'll stop whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Just advice.
Ted is giving it to me right now.
Okay. We're doing it. The Eddie to Emma look.
I feel like Emma's got that look down.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, she cuts me with that
look.
Oh,
my gosh. One of the other things that makes Vida so meaningful to me and to a lot of people, really, is the entire ensemble cast. Because you three characters are obviously the center of the storytelling. But honestly, honorable mention to Chelsea Rendon, who plays Mari, Carlos Miranda, ex-boyfriend. And then this year, the new characters, like Marcos, the new gay Latino tenant. Right?
Yes.
And
Donatiu was a little bit in season one, but now he comes back with like a recurring. He's amazing. And also Raul Castillo that comes in as Baco.
Oh my gosh.
Roberta Colindres, who plays Nico. We're very fortunate. We have amazingly talented actors on this show, and they all come in to enrich the world and the story.
I'm fans of their work. So.
And what it shows, I think, is a very deep, untapped bench of Latinx talent that absolutely needs to be seen more. Because, the depth, the emotional depth of these characters, and if it's limited screen time, but man, they deliver. Like, there's no question that you're in the presence of, like, somebody very talented.
And the range, too. Mm-hmm. Like, not only the range of, like, the talent of these people, but also just to see the range of the different types of Latinos that are out there, of Latinx people in the community, all the different shades, all the different shapes and sizes, and we're all part of the same community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful thing to see, to not be like put in a box like we normally are. Mm-hmm. You know, you sometimes don't get cast as a character because they're looking for a certain type. And you're like, but what is it? Mm-hmm. Why don't there are so many different types in the community that we live in?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just need to look outside your window to see all the different types of people that are actually part of the Latinx community.
Yeah, it's like what you're saying in looking at the bar scenes. What you see is what you see in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that that's so revolutionary, but it's great because we're getting to do it. And they're all easy on the eyes, so. Yeah.
I didn't notice, but thank you for pointing that out. Okay, I want to try something with you guys. You've heard of like word association, where I say a word and you guys say the first thing that comes into your mind. I wrote down some phrases after watching the show this weekend, and I'm going to just say the phrase and whatever comes to your mind in terms of your performance, in terms of the story development, in terms of the show or the issue that it touches on. Let's just go through some and see if this works, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so the first one, that kind of renter. It's part of the storyline of where, was it, Don Foley dies?
Yeah.
And one of the tenants dies, and then they have a room. So, they,
so they're going to rent it out.
And yeah. So there's the conversation is, well, we don't want that kind of renter.
Yeah, full classist mentality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Waitina because it's that same kind of like division within the community. Mm-hmm. Like when Mari calls Emma and Lynn Waitinas in the first episode of season one, it's like basically telling them that they are not, they don't belong in the community, like making them feel like others. Mm-hmm. And when in this second season, Emma's like, we don't want that kind of renter. She's basically looking down at people from the community that don't have the resources mm-hmm. and that probably can't mm-hmm. afford to go into like a nicer place to look for a place to live.
Yeah, and still she's looking at it also from a business standpoint in the sense that they need to get the proper money in there to keep this building alive so that it doesn't get given to developers, which are probably going to do worse things than what these girls are going to do for the building. So, yeah.
And for Eddie, they're like, yeah, like, I don't, you know, try to protect the neighborhood and the building from becoming this, you know, taking over what gentrification downtown does, or like folks that do come in and take over, or try to change a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. A lot of different aspects in just one phrase. That's the power of that, right? Okay, yeah. Here's another line. You don't want Don Foley running around here scaring you at night.
Okay.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And we believe, I feel like Latinx community in general are very in touch with the spiritual world. Like we believe in passing on to the next life, and like we have the whole Dia de Muertos thing where we celebrate the dead and we believe that they come back. And so when Lynn says, you don't want Don Foley walking around scaring you when you get up to the bathroom at night, it's basically like he's going to be running around scaring people as a ghost, a spirit. And Emma, like, doesn't even think twice. She's like, okay.
Yeah, I think there's also an aspect of, you know, even if you don't fully believe in a certain thing, maybe you're still going to get, your child's still going to go their christening just in case, you know, and it's not something, it's a tradition and you're just like, all right, well, just in case. Especially because, you know, she did see a ghost essentially running around season one, and she's like, yeah, not interested in that again.
But you're going to continue seeing, like, magical realism in images and also the old things you get to see and enjoy.
Here's one of my favorite lines I think I've ever heard anywhere on television, any kind of media, literature, et cetera. Abuelita Candy. Do you remember that?
Tonatiuh's character, Marcos, that when he's describing Emma. He says, she's like an abuelita candy, all like soft and gooey on the inside and hard on the outside.
Oh.
He's describing Emma.
I like that. I'm going to get a shirt that says abuelita candy.
Yeah.
That's good.
We all know what it is to go into your abuelas and like we have that, you either have the cookies or like the candy or the mints.
In church, there was always this one abuelita that always had the candy on her and you'd run up and she'd give you. And there was always the one with the little strawberry that looked like a little strawberry.
Oh, yeah,
that was my favorite.
Yeah.
Or the butterscotch one that was with the cellophane.
I had a viejita señorita would come to Huntington Park where I grew up to the gates and give me pan dulce and Pepsi. And she didn't know me. She was like a homeless woman.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And that was always remembered that. And so beautiful. Thanks for reminding me.
Damn, you got hooked up.
I just had
little strawberry candies. You got like
I got pan dulce,
tamales,
Pepsi,
back rubs. I was like, you must have been a cuter kid than me.
Huntington Park, what's up?
It wasn't like that in Hialeah.
Oh, dang.
I'm lucky if there was galletas in the tin and not a sewing kit or pennies.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like I think galletas in the sewing kit. Yeah. We have that in the show, too. We use, like, that's a funny thing that we do. Like, we recycle. We're the OG recycling.
Yeah. I know. Latinos have been recycling before it was trendy, man. Nothing gets thrown away. The paper bags, the plastic bags, the yogurt tins.
Yeah, those Christmas cookies.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I got to call. Okay. Okay, now it's time for a spoiler alert. It's the last scene of the season. So if you haven't seen it, stop this podcast now.
Yeah,
okay.
Stop it. Stop it.
Seriously, stop it.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Felix. Thank you for coming. See you next week.
And see you. Hopefully just go on your phone if you already downloaded the Stars app and just go and watch it.
Yeah,
so that now you can come back and listen to the end of this podcast. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the end of the podcast, the last scene. I was laying in bed last night, you know, with the laptop, and like tears are falling on my notes. It was brilliant. It was because it was strictly, it was no words. And when Lynn starts crying, it just, that gap, the physical gap between them on the scene closed, but in a really magical and special way. And just, Melissa, your performance right there just did everything. It was like, I can't even, I'm running out of words. It's my job to have the words to express it. But it was just so powerful. I just wanted to compliment you guys on that scene. It was just a beautiful way to end the season and completely devastated me. Bravo on that. You guys did a great job.
And bravo to the writers as well, because I think they're, Tanya and the rest of the writers are really good at just conveying with stage directions what they want, and then they just like give us the freedom to go and live it. And I think it was my last scene that I ever shot for the season.
Yeah.
And it was an emotional time, and having Mish there to go take after take, because it was like not that easy to have to like break down one after the other, and then having the movement of the camera, having to go over and over. But then just thinking about Lynn's journey through the entire season and how those words coming out of Emma's mouth are like exactly what she needed to hear. That's all she's been wanting.
Yeah.
A great way to end the season and also build for the next season.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Perfect.
Totally, because I think we end season one with this, are we business partners?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's all
high.
Kind of this, you know, surface. Yeah, sure, we're having a good time. And you know, we really show Lynn being there for Emma and giving her exactly what she needs, which is just license and that it's okay to come back. And it's okay to do that. And what is it that you want? And then we end with the second season with Emma really giving Lynn, I think, what she's been wanting. And that's, you know, it's not easy for Emma, because Emma feels like nobody ever gave it to her. So why am I going to give it to you? And, you know, and there's that kind of fighting thing. But at the all of the pieces that have held Emma together in her life have stopped working throughout the season. And finally, in that vulnerable moment, she's able to give. The bar is working without her. Mm. And that's a testament to Lynn.
And it's Tanya's directorial debut on the 10th.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She directed that episode.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, kudos all around. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Michelle Prada, Melissa Barrera, and Ser Anzuategui. Thank you all for coming in and doing the show. And thank you for this show. And, you know, someone who's been watching TV and movies for a long time, you know, you go from being a kid and being excited to be just to be able to see Speedy Gonzalez, right?
Because
he's the only one that's out there, to this nuanced, powerful, and such dramatic performances. De Corazon, I give you my thanks, because you guys are just, everybody associated with the show is just killing it. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Felix.
Yeah.
And thank you, everyone that's been watching and supporting us.
Yeah, and supporting it, because we see it and we feel it, and it's, the show is our heart. So the people that have supported are really an extension of it, and are our family as well.
Yeah. Yes. And this show wouldn't be possible if the viewers weren't there. So
that's
thank
right.
you
yeah.
to our community for supporting us.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you. I want to remind all of our listeners that you can hear what we played on the show today on our website at npr.org/altlatino. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I am Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.